Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. With the celebration of Laetare Sunday last week, we were given a hope-filled vision, reminded that Lent is moving along and the end is now in sight. We say amen to all of that because life can drag out. Life can go in circles, and Lent can too. But make no mistake, there is a moving, there is a direction, there is an end. Of course, we know that from our own lives. And sometimes the comings and goings, the beginnings and ends are important to look at. Sometimes they're painful. Villanova and Duke know that this morning. Their journey to New Orleans was a lot different than their journey home. Natalie and Ben know that. They were a couple who got married here yesterday. Their coming into this church was a lot different than their going out. They came in as fiancé. They came out as husband and wife. And of course, you and I know this as well in our daily experience. As we enter this last full week of Lent and we prepare for Jesus' great entrance into Jerusalem, his procession in, it would do us well to look at today's gospel and this other procession that we see, a procession of sorts that is hard to look at. We're dealing with John 8, a scene that is unique to John, but that is known to all of us. Jesus and the woman who has been caught in adultery. It's a very difficult scene, but it's important. And it is very hope-filled. She is caught in the very act of committing adultery, and the scribes and the Pharisees, who are the authority figures, basically give her a walk of shame. They drag her through the streets and they bring her in public to the temple because it was a sexual sin that she was guilty of. The shame is even deeper. And while it may seem like an old school public shaming, this still happens. Even in our modern world, it may not be through the streets, but through the internet, through the news. We understand what this might have been like. Fortunately for her, she was brought to Jesus. The procession ended with him. Fortunate because his authority is greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees, greater than even Moses. And they turn her over to him. They say, "What do you say?" And Jesus, before he says anything, he bends down. He begins writing on the ground. And speaking from authority, he says this, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to cast a stone." He disarms them. And I wonder to myself what the sound of those rocks falling on the ground must have sounded like. One by one. Certainly prostrate on the ground, she heard it. And Jesus too. Then, left alone with Jesus, John continues the story. "Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir." "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." I wonder what that was like. Her going forth. That procession, still wounded, but saved. Saved from death. Having to go forth, going back to that same town. Reputation ruined. but now a life to be lived. Having met Christ, having heard his word, received his mercy, no doubt she was obedient to his command to sin no more. And clearly, that procession to Jesus was a lot different than her going home. St. Paul knew this type of movement. And even in the prison cell, he moved. He speaks in the second reading today of how he grew and moved and matured in Christ from what he described as the rubbish of his past to a future full of hope. And what lies in the middle is Christ, knowing him as Lord. And now he continues that pursuit of upward movement. All of this was beautifully prophesied by Isaiah, that our God opens a way in the sea, that he does something new. He brings rivers into the wasteland. He makes a way. And my friends, as Isaiah tells us why he does this, for one reason, that his people may announce his praise. Next week, as we come into church, we'll begin with a procession in the back of church. We'll bless the palm, we'll wave the palm, and sing Alle Hosanna. We'll be ready for that Palm Sunday procession. But we also know that those same people that welcomed him in Jerusalem cast him out. What will the quality of our praise be? Will it be a mature praise that can grow, have substance to it? It seems to me, if that is to be the case, and I hope it is, there's one thing that can enable that. Mercy. Receiving his mercy, announcing his mercy, walking in his mercy, day by day, coming to a fuller maturity in Christ, knowing him as Lord. As we enter this last full week of Lent, we can do that with his grace. And so let's let it be done, welcoming the mercy of Jesus Christ, who saves. God be with you.